This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The dialogue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with the children, with the Christian community. Okay, people, are you ready for that? This is a very important place. I'm going to show you an ayah of the Quran. Firstly, I'm going to load it and then show it to you. The Quran in Surah number 3, Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inviting the people, inviting the people of Christian faith to Islam. He says, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Qul ya ahl al-kitabi, ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum, alla na'buda illallah, walla nushrika bihi shay'an, walla yattakhidha ba'duna ba'dan arbaban min dunillah. Fa'in tawallu fa'qul ashhadu bi anna muslimun." Okay. That say, O people of the book, let us come to a word common to us, that we shall worship none but God, and that we shall associate no partner with Him, and that none of us should take others besides Lord, besides God, for lords. Okay, and if they turn away, say, bear witness that we have submitted to God. Okay, the people of the book, people of the class, tell me. Here's a question for you. Who is the people of the book? I'd like you to tell me the answer. Is it, I'll write some options, okay? Who are the people of the book? I want you to write the answer for me, please, okay? Is it A, the Jews, or B, the Christians, or C, Jews and Christians, or D, you know, everyone who can read? What do you think, people?
Is it everybody who can read?
All right, so write the answer in the chat for me, huh? Write the answer in the chat, what you think. Shuaib has raised his hand. Or Suhaib, actually, go ahead. Suhaib, go ahead.
Jews and Christians.
All right. So if can you all chat? Or is chat disabled? Chat can be done, right? Okay. I'd like to see everyone's thoughts. Please select one of the following, A, B, C, or D, and put your answer in the chat, please. If you're afraid of saying it, I can make it even private and you can just send it to me directly. Okay. MashaAllah. The people of the book. The correct answer is the Jews and Christians. They are the people of the book. Okay. Now, why is it that we call them Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book? We call them that because they are the ones who received revelation previously and had prophets previously. Now, that doesn't mean others didn't receive prophets. You know, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that every single community, every single part of the earth, Allah has sent prophets to. So He sent prophets to every single nation that lives, every single ethnicity. Okay? But the most famous prophets were sent to which group of people? The most famous ones were sent to who? Let me, again, put this up as a question for you all. You ready? Okay? The most famous prophets were sent to which ethnicity? A, the Jews, also known as Bani Israel. B, the Muslims. C, the people who are, say, natives, Native Americans, or the indigenous population. Which one do you think? The most famous prophets, where were they sent to?
Jews.
Please. So write the answer as A, B, or C, please. The most famous prophets were sent, as you are correctly answering, all of you, to the Jews, aka Bani Israel. Yeah? They were sent to them Starting with Ishaq, and then Yaqub, then Yusuf, and then continuing on, finally to Musa, then Harun, and then Dawood, and Suleiman. And Allah says, ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا تَتْرَى كُلَّمَا جَاءَ أُمَّةً رَسُولُهَا كَذَّبُوهُ. One after the other, a prophet would pass away, a new prophet would be sent. A prophet would pass away, another prophet would be sent. And that was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Bani Israel with, the Jews. Now, the last prophet, okay, the last prophet sent to Bani Israel was, which one do you think? Was it Dawood? Was it Zakaria? Was it Yahya? Or was it Isa?
Was it Isa?
Who was the last prophet sent to Bani Israel? He will tell me. Abdurrahman, I want you to write the answer, eh?
Okay.
The last prophet sent to... Aha! Correct answer, mashallah, is Isa alayhi salam. Very good. Yes? So, all the famous or the most famous prophets were sent to Bani Israel. The last of them was Isa alayhi salam. But what's interesting is when Isa alayhi salam was sent to Bani Israel did not think that he was one of their own. Okay? In fact, they wanted to, get rid of him. Now, what's interesting is Ahl al-Kitab. Allah calls the Jews and the Christians Ahl al-Kitab. Because the Jews and the Christians have a shared tradition. They share all the prophets of Bani Israel. Okay? Who do they differ about? They differ about Isa alayhi salam. Right? The Jews and the Christians, they share all the prophets. And that's why they are called Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, the ones who the prophets were sent to. And as the prophet is sent to, the prophet brings the book. So Allah honors them with this title by calling them people of the book. This is a very important thing. Okay, they are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being called the people of the book. You see, that is how we talk to people. We talk to people by honoring them, by, giving them, acknowledging what's good about them. You see, we don't try to have a conversation where we are insulting somebody. This is not proper etiquette. And if you want to, convince someone of something, or try, if you're trying to, win somebody over, you cannot start by insulting them. Because if you insult them, they will not listen to anything you have to say, even if everything you say is right. Do you agree with that, people? Yes or no?
Yes.
Right? What other people think? Like, if you insult somebody, even if you're right, they won't listen to you. Do you agree with that? Yes or no?
Yes.
Right? Like, the way we speak to people is just as important as what we say when we speak to people. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Christians, right? He honors them. He says, you are people of the book, Ahl al-Kitab. You are the people who had the most famous prophets sent to them. The most famous books were sent to you. You know about this thing more than any other ethnicity in the world. That is why, what should you do? Ta'alaw, come. Come, let's talk about this. Ila kalimatin sawa'in bainana wa bainakum. Let's talk on common grounds. Right? What is common between us? Let's talk about that. What is common between us and Jews and Christians? I want you to tell me, people, from the ayah, what is the common between us and the Jews and the Christians?
Is it because, like, we all believe in prophets?
Okay, we all believe in prophets. That's one thing that's common. But we differ about which prophets we believe. But what is something all of us believe?
Allah is one.
That Allah is one. Okay. From the ayah itself, can someone give me from the quote from the translation? Let's see if you can raise your hand, and I would like to ask you if you found the answer. Who is it? Abdul Rahman, do you want to give us the exact quotation?
No, I don't know.
You don't know? Anybody else? I'm going to pick somebody randomly then. Isra. Isra, how are you?
Sorry, I'm good. I was trying to find the spot to raise your hand, but I couldn't find it. But
no problem, Isra. I knew you know the answer. Okay, can you tell us the answer?
People of the book, let us come to a word common to us, that we shall worship none but God, and that we shall associate no partner with him, and that none of us shall take others besides God for Lord.
Is that what we all, is that common between all of us?
Yes.
Muslims, Jews, and Christians, that we worship none but God. Do we all agree on that?
Yes and no.
Actually, yes. Actually, yes. Do you know?
But what happened with the Jesus, Spirit, God thing?
Okay, we'll talk about it. That's a good question. Right? What are the Ten Commandments? Do you know the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments, this is like one of the most important parts of the Bible. This is, what does it say? What's number one in the Ten Commandments?
Worship none but Allah.
No, tell me, what does it say? Read what's on the screen.
You shall have no God gods before me. You shall not make idols.
All right, hold on, Abdurrahman. You shall have no other gods before me, i.e. what? You shall worship none but God. Yes or no?
Yes.
And that we shall associate no partner with him. Okay, Isra, can you read the second commandment?
You shall not make idols.
You shall not make idols. Yes? And that's that, right? Cannot have another partner with him. And none of us shall take others besides God for lords. This is in the, this is the thing that it's part of the Bible. The most famous part of the Bible, you could say, are the Ten Commandments. You see? And that's what the Quran says. Come, let's agree to that, right? We all agree on this. Let's do that. Allah na'buda illallah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Let's do that. Now, what is that? Where is the problem for the people who are Christians? The Christians say, well, yes, we don't worship anything but God. But God is made up of God the Father and Jesus the Son. That's what they say. Right? And they say there's also the Holy Spirit. You know what this is called? This is called the, anybody know the word for it? Three gods in one?
The Holy Trinity?
The Holy Trinity, that's what they call it. Correct. Trinity means something that's three. They said that God is, yes, we worship God. But God is who? We say God is, you know, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. They're like, no, God is the Lord of the heavens and the earth plus Jesus plus the Holy Spirit, which is Jibreel. Now, we're like, wait, that means you're worshiping three gods, right? Yes or no? Is it three or is it one?
It's only one.
Right, but when they say that, is it three then?
Yes.
Right, so this is where the confusion is. This is where the problem is. So now, when we have a confusion and a problem, right? They say, we say, we all agree, worship one God, right? We all agree on that. Okay? But they say, well, actually, God is what? God is
like
three parts. You with me?
Yeah, Sheikh Haj, I need to go after. I'll be back.
Okay. Go ahead, Abdurrahman. Okay. We say, well, God, okay, you think God's three parts? Let's actually talk about who we all agree on. We all agree on Ibrahim, right? We all trace our religion back to Ibrahim. Did Ibrahim? Let's resolve this conflict. Let's resolve this by looking at someone who we all agree with, right? Who's that person? Ibrahim alayhi salam. People, you with me? The question is, did Ibrahim alayhi salam worship God in three parts?
No.
Yes or no, people?
No.
Yes or no? Type the answer. The answer is an emphatic no, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam worshipped Allah alone. ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما. He was an upright man who had surrendered himself to God. Subhanallah. Okay, so hey Christians, you are the people of the book. You have received the most famous prophets. Okay, the most famous of them is Ibrahim. How about we worship Allah the way Ibrahim worshipped Allah? How about that? That is how the Quran is inviting the Christians to Islam, right? That this is not, we're not inviting you to something that's brand new. We're inviting you to come and let's all be like Ibrahim. Let's all be like the one we all agree, Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? And that is a beautiful way of inviting people. It's a very beautiful way of extending out the hand. And if a person, you know, it takes it, alhamdulillah, that's good for them. If they don't take it, then that's their loss, right? Now, this is how the Quran invites. Now, after that, the Quran speaks about the people who reject this beautiful call, right? People who recognize, you know what, this is actually correct, but not everybody does what's right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, let's see, can we have Arham, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Arham, you're there. Okay, perfect. All right, Arham, I'd like you to read the Arabic, but let's pick a volunteer to read the English translation. Okay, who would that be? If you can raise your hand, that will be really nice. Anybody? All right, Soheb. Thank you, Soheb. I will ask you to unmute yourself. Ahmed next time, inshallah. All right. So, Arham, could you please read the Arabic?
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أهل الكتاب لم تلبسون الحق بالباطل وتكتمون الحق وأنتم تعلمون.
Sahib, go ahead.
People of the book, why do you mix truth with falsehood and knowingly conceal the truth?
MashaAllah, great job, you guys. Why do you mix truth with falsehood and knowingly conceal the truth, right? Here is a question for you. Does everyone who knows something is right, do they, you know, does anyone, or sorry, let me rephrase. Does everyone who knows something is right actually acts on what's right? That's a difficult way of wording a question, but let me explain. If you know something is right, you know this is the right thing to do. Okay, I'll give you an example. If somebody is being bullied, does that happen?
Yes.
It happens all the time, unfortunately. Right? Do you know that's wrong? Do you recognize that as something that's wrong? Yes or no?
Yes.
You should recognize it as wrong. Right? It's important for your spiritual well-being. When you see something wrong, you recognize that this thing is actually wrong. Okay? Now, the question is, you know that this is wrong and the right thing to do is just to do something about it, to say something. Yes? But does everybody who sees that and knows it's wrong and the right thing is to say something, do they actually say something?
No.
Do a lot of people say something?
No, very little.
Very few people actually say something. right? And this is one of the problems with us. This is one of the flaws of us as human beings, that we would know something is right, but we won't do anything about it. And the reason why we wouldn't do anything about it is probably because we're afraid, or maybe, you know, we think it's inconvenient, or maybe just don't care, as long as it's not hurting me, right? And this is, unfortunately, the way a lot of us are conditioned to think. So the Quran knows that. It's made a very compelling argument. Worship God as Ibrahim worshiped God. Worship God only, nobody else. Yeah? Now, that should be like a checkmate. Everybody should quickly figure out that this is the right way to do it. But again, human nature, very few people will actually do something that is correct. Very few. Most people will, even if they know it's right, will not really take any action. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. People of the book, you are the ones who are the inheritors of all these prophets, of all these books. What did the prophets do? They did what's right. They stood up for what's right. How come you don't stand up and do what's right? How come you don't do that? This is still something the Quran mentions. And again, this is that extended invitation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extending to the children to the Christians and to the Jews. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments, ayah number 79, okay? Ayah number 79, he says, let me share my screen again. And again, I'll have two volunteers read this. So Arham, again, if you like, can you read the Arabic? And let's have, who was it, Abdullah before, sorry? Or not Abdullah, the, who was it that I said, yes, you can read next time?
It was me.
Was it you? Jafar? Okay, Jafar. You changed your name, right, Jafar?
I was Ahmed Jafar before.
Oh, all right, I was looking for Ahmed. All right. Arham, can you go ahead and please read the Arabic the ayah? And then we have Jafar to read the English, inshallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ما كان لبشر أن يؤتيه الله الكتاب والحكم والنبوة ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون الله ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون.
No one to whom God has given the scriptures and on whom he has bestowed wisdom and prophethood would say to men, worship me instead of God. Be devoted servants of God, for you have taught and studied the scriptures.
Again, look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something very profound here, you guys. Okay? He's like, no person in the history of humanity who Allah chose to be a prophet has said, worship me instead of God. Nobody. Right? That's not the way of Abraham. That's not the way of Moses. That's definitely not the way of Jesus, alayhi wasalam. No one who Allah gave scripture and wisdom and prophethood would say to the people, you know what? The better thing to do is you take me as a god. But in fact, he would say, be devoted servants of God. For you have been taught the scripture and you study the scripture. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them, right? That you are people of literacy. You have studied. You know what's up, right? So if you know what's up, the expectation for you to do so, the right thing is actually higher. If you're just oblivious, you don't know anything, okay, you can kind of excuse a person from being ignorant, yeah? But if they're not ignorant, if they know what's going on, the expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you do the right thing. So he says, look, you knew this stuff. No prophet has ever said this before. Also, no prophet has ever said Number ayah number 80. Again, Arham, I keep asking you to read the ayah. I hope you don't mind, huh?
No, it's okay.
All right, alhamdulillah. Let's see. Can we have somebody who can read the English? A volunteer. Somebody who hasn't volunteered yet. So, hey, you did, mashallah, jazakallah khair. Jafar also. Let's pick on, or not pick on, but like, let's ask Dua. Are you, would you be up for it? Dua Ismail? Or maybe Isra. Okay, Isra. Sure, Isra. All right. Go ahead, Ya Arham.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يأمركم أن تتخذوا الملائكة والنبيين أربابا أيأمركم بالكفر بعد إذ أنتم مسلمون
Nor would he enjoin you to take the angels and the prophets as your lords. How could he command you to be disbelievers after you have submitted to God?
MashaAllah. Nor would any person, again, this is continuing, right? No person whom God has given scripture to and given wisdom and prophethood to would say to people that take angels and prophets as your Lord. He would never say, worship me. He would never say, worship this angel. He would never say, worship another person. He would never say that. And again, what is Allah addressing here? He's addressing the idea of the Trinity. How can Jesus pray, say, pray to God, pray to me, and pray to Angel Jibreel? How could he say that? Because no one else has ever said it. No one else has ever said it in the history of humanity who Allah has given wisdom and prophethood to. I remember when I was in university, we used to have these like da'wah booths. We would set up like a table and we would give out free Qur'ans to people and flyers and whatnot. And we'd tell people about Islam. And sometimes, most people wouldn't even care. They were just too busy, just going about their lives. But there were some people who would be like, you know what? I'm interested to see what you have to say, right? And I had one of my friends, actually, one of my classmates, he once stopped by. He was, he was asking me. He was actually an atheist, not even a Christian. But he said, how can he say, if Jesus says he's God, right? Then, how could you counter that as a Muslim? And then I remember saying this, and I actually didn't really know much Quran at that time. I didn't study a lot at that time. I didn't know as much. But the answer just blurted out of my mouth. And I remember that moment to this day. And I said, because no one else has ever said that. No prophet before him said this. Moses didn't say this. Abraham didn't say this. Right? And this ayah exactly says the same thing. SubhanAllah, what came out of my mouth was actually something that the Quran had. And it's a powerful argument that how could Isa alayhi salam break the what everyone has done, the tradition? How could he break the tradition and do something that, forget about breaking the tradition, أَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ? How could you command you to be disbelievers? How does that make any sense? How can a prophet come and say, all right guys, be disbelievers? So this is, again, a very, very strong argument that the Quran makes to address the Christian theology and address it, in a direct way, address it in an indirect way, bring them closer to get to them, or bring the ideas close. But also, the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is chastising them, right? He's, being stern that, why, if you know something is right, why are you still not doing it, right? And he says in this ayah that afa ghayra dinillahi yabghun, do they seek a religion other than the religion of God? When everything in the heavens and earth has submitted to him, willingly or unwillingly, and to him all shall return. This is a beautiful ayah. Okay, I want you to think about this. This ayah is telling us that the religion of Allah, غَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything follows God's commands. Okay? The ultimate authority is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taw'an aw karhan. Taw'an willingly, karhan unwillingly. Willingly, in the sense that if we as Muslims do something, accept the, you know, what's right and what's wrong, accept the will of God as, you know, what we should be doing, that is taw'an. We're doing it willingly, right? Karhan is everybody who is bound by the laws of Allah, right? Like, you cannot run at the speed of light. Light can't go faster than the speed of light, right? You can't escape the atmosphere without dying. You have to like wear like a very special suit and have oxygen because your body needs oxygen. These are the constraints that Allah has put on every single human being. Nobody can escape them. Yeah, all of us need food. All of us need to go use the washroom. All of us will die one day. That's something we all agree on, right? These are the constraints. Taw'an aw karhan. You have to accept them, whether you like them or not. So what Allah is saying is, He is the one you already know is in charge, because He is the one who has made the system that you live in. He is the one who is eternal. For the system to exist, that a system that is, you know, has a beginning, a system that has an end, i.e. it's finite, for it to be exist, something infinite, something eternal has to exist for that to be in place. Otherwise, you will have what's called an infinite regression. It's a logical fallacy. It's like a problem with logic, right? You can't have that. So if we know that the universe has a beginning and we know it's heading towards an end, yes, logically, then logically you have to accept that there had to be someone who predated the universe to have brought it into existence. And that's what we say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Allahu Samad. He is the one who is eternal. He's the one who is eternal, the necessary one, the one we all depend on. Taw'an aw karhan, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. And that is that's a deep point, right? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also that what is our commitment? Like, who are we as Muslims, right? Who are we as Muslims? What is our statement of faith? This is our statement of faith, okay? Let's actually have Abdurrahman. Do you want to read this, Abdurrahman? We'll give Arham a small break because Arham, mashallah, has been doing a great job. Abdurrahman, do you want to read this?
Tayyib, okay.
And then Ja'far, perhaps you can read the translation?
Okay.
Go ahead, Abdurrahman.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قل آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى والنبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون.
Good job, Rahman. Yeah, Jafar.
Say, we believe in God and in what has been sent down to us and to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes. Mm. We believe in what has been given to Moses, Jesus, and the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them. It is to Him that we have surrendered ourselves.
Amazing. This is our statement of faith. This is our declaration of who we are, right? We are following the religions of all the prophets from the beginning of time to the last prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? And we believe in them and we make no distinction between them. It is to Allah we all submit, just like all these prophets have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we believe. Here's a question for you guys. You guys ready for this question? This is an important question.
Okay.
Was the original Torah the word of God? The word of God. Yes or no, people? Was the original Torah the word of God? Yes or no? I'd like you to if you like to use the, yes or no button on Zoom, you can use that. Or you can type yes or no. MashaAllah, very good. You're typing many of you are typing. The answer as yes. Okay. You can use the button because the button is a lot easier too if you don't want to type, yeah? And the rest of you guys too, come on. Do, you know, type. Come on. Okay. The original Torah. We actually believe the original Torah that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa alayhi salam was the word of Allah. Absolutely, we believe that. Yes, the answer is yes. Okay. Was the Torah corrupted by the people after its revelation? Do you know what corrupted means? Right?
It's like it got changed.
Got changed. Corrupted means like, imagine if I have like a box of tissues, right? Right? You know, like, actually I have a box of tissues. I'll show you, right? Well, it's not many tissues in it, but it's okay. Right? Imagine corrupting it would be like I take all the tissues out, yeah? And then I stuff them back in. Is it originally, the tissues are originally still there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? But the order of the tissues is not right. It's now touched. It's not, it's all jumbled and squished. You get me, right? That's the idea of corrupting something. Okay. Now, was the Torah corrupted by the people after it's the revelation? Polluting it in a way. Polluting, we use it for like the environment more. Huh, Isra? But corrupting, yes, the answer is yes. Right? That is the correct answer. So the Torah was corrupted by the people. Was the original Injil, the word of God?
No.
Yes or no?
I don't think. Sheikh Haraj?
Yes.
I heard this story that someone, a king paid him, like for every letter, its weight in gold, that he changes like the Bible or the Torah. What was that?
We'll talk about it. Hold on. I'm building up to something. Okay, hold on. Is this true? The original Injil, huh? The original Injil, the word of God, Injil was given to who? Isa alayhi salam, right? Was not the word of God? It's actually, yes, it is the word of God. Why? Because قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى. Right? Every single original book that Allah gave to a prophet, we believe is what? The word of Allah. Just like we believe the Quran is the word of Allah. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
This is an important point, you guys. Okay? We believe all of the original revelations that Allah sent was the speech of Allah, just like the Quran is the speech of Allah. Yeah? Was the original or was the Injil corrupted by the people after its revelation? Yes or no? The answer to the question is also predictably now. What?
Yes.
Yes. So what are we trying to say? What we're trying to say is that the original revelation was the word of Allah. Then the people corrupted it. And now there is, just like the tissue example, there is some original stuff that is actually an original tissue paper. But there's others that have been corrupted by the person who is trying to pull it out and stuff it back in, right? This means that the Torah that we have today, the Injil or the remnants of Injil, the remaining part of the Injil today, those two together is the Bible. That, what we believe is, the original source is Allah. The original copy of it, unaltered, was the speech of Allah. And we believe that because that's what the Quran says we do. But we also know, not just believe, we know that those words have been changed. How do we know that? Well, we know that through history. There's actually a very detailed study done by historians who, for example, talk about, I'll show you one example of it. right? That Bart Ehrman. Hold on. There is many examples, for example, of here's one example for you, okay? A historical study of how the who changed the Bible and why, right? This is written by not a Muslim guy. This is written by actually a scholar of Christianity, like a historian of Christianity, right? The story behind who changed the Bible and why. There's actually a long history, right, of how it took place. And this is documented. You can actually document it. You can compare manuscripts and you can say, oh, this versus that. Yeah. So, subhanAllah, this is something that is a true historical fact. People changed it because, it's actually back in the day, if you wanted to make a copy of the Bible, you didn't go to like a photocopier. You would sit there and you would write it. Right, you look at it and you write it. You look at it and you write it. And is there a chance that you make a mistake?
Yes. Totally,
right? But also, as the people were writing it, they're like, you know what? This ayah is going to make me less powerful. So I'm going to actually remove this ayah. The Quran says, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَاضِعِهِ. Changing the words around. So it's more convenient for me. It's more, gives me more power. I.e., the people who came after these prophets, they changed the scripture for their own benefit, their own purposes. And this is a historical fact. This is not something that is like up for debate or something. You see, that is the reality of those books. And that's what the Quran says to them. The Quran says, oh people, you, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this beautiful argument. Starts by saying to them, look you guys, let's all worship God just like Abraham worshiped God. Okay? You don't like that? Why don't you like that? That's exactly what all prophets have said. No prophet before has ever said, oh, you know what? You guys just worship me as a prophet and don't worship God. No prophet has ever said, worship God and an angel and a prophet. So Jesus didn't say that and wouldn't have said it. Okay? Everything is under the command of God. You are under the command of God as well. And we as believers, we actually believe in Allah and all the messengers He sent and all the books He sent. We believe all of them are the original words of God. All of them are speech of God. Just like we believe the Quran is the speech of God as well. So now we ask you, right, as Christians, you know, come. Come to a word that's common between us. This is who we are. You are people of the book. You should know this better than anybody else. And that's the argument the Quran makes. And a very beautiful argument if you think about it, right? A very beautiful invitation. If you remember, I mentioned the very, the beginning of this, that when we are studying this surah, we're going to talk about addressing the Christians. And this is a very beautiful way that Allah addresses the Christians. Alhamdulillah. Okay. With that, we will actually stop. If there's other questions or comments you have, we will take them. And next week, we will talk about the Battle of Uhud. And how this all relates. Because, you know, you're like, well, the Christians to the Battle of Uhud, what? This seems like two different topics altogether. But there's a very deep connection. So we'll talk about the Battle of Uhud next week. How the surah talks about it and what the connection is. But I'd like to open up the floor and see if you guys have any questions or comments.
Shahaj, I have a question.
Hmm.
You're not gonna tell us about how the Bible changed, right?
The exact details of how it changed?
Yeah.
Well, that's like something that's not like exactly the topic of our discussion, but you can check it out, you know, if you wanted to go and, see a video by this guy, Bart Ehrman, right? He has videos about how, you know, the Bible changes and everything. But, you know, irrespective of how we know, just historically, there's so much evidence to show it. But you can check it out. It's not a bad thing.
Okay. Jazakallah khairan.
Yeah. Other questions or comments, anybody? Even if they're not related, you know, you can ask something that's unrelated as well.
Sheikh Arij Amir, in the class we have on Wednesday, is it the same topic on that? Are we learning our Battle of Uhud in that class?
The one on Wednesday, that's not the same one. No. For young professionals one?
I think, yeah.
Oh, that's actually once a month, and it's not happening this Wednesday. But that one is actually more about like last time we were talking about investing and riba interest and stuff. So it's more different topic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. I actually want you guys to, if you have any questions that are even not related, I want you to feel free to ask them to me, you know, reach out to me and ask them, inshallah, whenever, as you know, whatever is on your mind. Okay. I don't want you to feel that this is like a monologue. I'm the only one who's speaking. I would like it to be a dialogue where you're also saying stuff and asking questions. I know it's not always easy to speak in front of, you know, a group of people and, you know, they're not all there physically, but please do feel free to ask what's on your mind. If something doesn't make sense to you. Okay.
Okay,
inshallah. If there is nothing else, we will end the call for today. And next week, I'll see you and we will discuss which battle again. Remind me. Uhud. All right. Thank you very much. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you for the patience for waiting for me today. I was a little busy with something. I was just running back to come and be with you guys. But tomorrow, next week, inshallah, I'll be prompt as usual, bi'ithillah. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
جزاك الله خير.